everybody, welcome to Street Fight Radio, your number one source for anarcho comedy. For 6 years running now on WCRS out of Columbus, Ohio, 92.7, 24/7. We also do a live call-in show every Sunday between 10 and 11. It's been around about 10:45, I think is the safest time to say. You can definitely jump in there. You can go to WCRSFM.org to check that out and listen live when we do so. But check all of our social media stuff. We're at Street Fight WCRS on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can get notified when that's happening. We are here with a simple message. That is to get rid of the ruling class and the global elites, to get a globally organized, egalitarian, anarcho-syndicalist utopia. That's the simple solution that we're looking for. We're starting off with just in the streets, agitating and being a place for all of you wonderful street fighters out there that are causing trouble for the elites and the powers that be in the status quo, to be your source of laughters and levity in this wild ass world that is 2017. So thank you for giving us a shot if this is your first time, and thank you once again if this is your 500th time. I know some of you are still listening after so many shows, and it's hard to believe, but we appreciate the loyalty. My name is Brett Payne. My co-host is Brian Quinby, and this is a fun show to do. I like this show. This is it. Now that we've been doing it once a week, it makes it my favorite show to do.
It's the easiest show, I think. Well, I don't know. They're all pretty easy. They're fun. That's our life. We get to just have fun on the radio, I guess.
Yeah, I just think when we were doing them back-to-back Tuesday and Wednesday, it would be very tough to do this full force and then have to do it again the next night. It's kind of, you know, I got one in me a week of that, the fine shit, you know?
Yeah. Man, I had a traumatic experience today, Brett. Just hours before we came in to record, before our meeting. We had a meeting, and then we've been hanging out, but I had just couple hours before that a really tragic experience.
Does it involve a birthday party?
It doesn't. No, that birthday party is over and it's good and it's done.
The last two shows both started with birthday party rants.
No, something new happened to me today that's even worse. But it, you know, it does involve a greeting card, actually, Brett.
Was it a not so nice greeting card?
It was. My wife enlisted my help at the grocery store in picking out a Boss's Day card.
That's a touchy subject. Uh-oh.
Somebody doesn't listen to Street Fight.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, did you have an ethics debate with your wife in the middle of the Giant Eagle?
Is there one with a guillotine on it?
Okay, that sends the kind of message.
I mean, oh my God, that's October 16th is Boss's Day, Brad. I hate to spread the news, but I feel like this is an alarming situation. This is more like a tornado warning. Like, listeners, Boss's Day is coming up. You're going to be forced to honor your boss.
Well, I mean, people do kiss ass to get ahead, so it's a strategic move. Is that what your wife is doing?
No, I mean, I guess like boss, if the boss knows it's Boss's Day, Brett, and you don't get the boss anything, what does that do? You know, where does that put you? I don't want a penny to come out of my pocket to go to the boss ever. Like every time she's like, oh, it's my boss's birthday. And it's like, oh, well, fuck her. She has a family.
Like, yeah, it's not your responsibility.
Does she get you anything? Like, on first of all, there isn't a day, because they wouldn't have you come to work, like Labor Day, I guess. But the bosses get included in that, in Labor Day. And in the United States, we don't really do May Day. Like, May Day is a day where I'm like, yeah, that's a real fuck the bosses day. The bosses don't get to celebrate in May Day. But we don't also get the day off of May Day, and it's like frowned upon, like celebrating it in the United States, where it's like Labor Day, you don't go to work, which is good.
That's
the best prize you can get. But again, the boss gets to celebrate Labor Day too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. If they get bosses, maybe bosses day, they should get off, which is a plus for us as a working class. And then also on Labor Day, they have to be at work while we are off. And then when we come back on Tuesday, they give us a card, right? That says, thank you for all you've, the money you've made us this year.
They always think the paycheck is that. Well, I give you a paycheck. It's like, you don't really. Somebody else, unless I work for a small business tyrant, which then, yes, they are giving me the paycheck and they will lord it over me for the rest of my, for the rest of my employment there. But holy shit, man. There's like a section of cards at the grocery store for Bosses Day where you can just go pick a card to give to your goddamn boss. And it's like, ugh.
Don't just, but I, you don't ever like to be submissive. You don't ever like to get bossed around. You don't want ever and want someone just to scream at you until you're like breaking your records on your words per minute that you've typed.
One of these Bosses Day cards, Brett, was like a big wide open one that basically ended by saying, thank you for making every day great.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love the way you whip me. You whip me into shape. Boss, you make me a better me as an employee.
They get a day, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little excessive. I mean, the I think you got to put some of the blame on these card companies as well. They're definitely trying to get people to spend $3.95 on some card stock.
Yeah. So not well, yeah, they do invent days. But I mean, like,
and also, I mean, it is a, I mean,
it, I guess if I was in that
sucker,
business,
if you're trying to suck up, it makes sense to me. If I was not going rogue in the career aspect, I'd have to think about like, maybe I'll get some fine candies for the old boss so that way I can get just a little bit of breathing room at my fucking desk.
Yeah. I mean, that should come out.
It's like buying off the cops or something.
You should get an extra stipend on your check.
That's
though,
true.
To buy the boss. If you're going to buy the boss something, they should pay you to buy the boss something.
In our, yeah, in our labor equal world, they'll recognize all purchases. They'll charge all that stuff back to the company.
So you want to do the Wikipedia for Bosses Day?
Sure. I'm very interested.
Bosses Day is generally observed on or around October 16th in the United States, the only country where they do Bosses Day.
Really?
It doesn't have another country on here. It's just the United States. Only the United States would have a Bosses Day, Brett. It's the God, only country in the
that's
world.
Embarrassing. Number one in Bosses Day. That's the only way we're thing we're number one in what? Anymore. Like weapons and Bosses Days.
You can move here. You can buy an automatic rifle and do Bosses Day every year and not do May Day. Don't do May Day. Actually,
avoid
celebrate
May Day.
Loyalty Day on May Day and Labor Day at the end of summer when they're taking summer away. Again, we've talked about this before. The government gets all the summer holidays. So you got Memorial Day and you got your July the 4th. And then they're like, oh, here comes Labor Day, the last weekend of the summer when they close all the pools.
Shoot. You can't swim no more. I know it's hotter than hell out there.
And Patricia Bays Horosky registered National Bosses Day with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce in 1958.
Wow.
She was working as a secretary for State Farm Insurance Company in Deerfield, Illinois, and at the time chose October 16th, which was her father's birthday. She dishonored her father by starting Bosses Day. Ugh.
Maybe
my kid doesn't do something like that. Like, yeah. How shitty would that be if, like, January 18th became, like, National Fascist Day? And, like, you were just celebrating fascism.
Or Nationalism Day.
Or and it was because my daughter one day got a fucking crazy thing in her head where she's like, you know what? I'm going to do a Nationalism Day. Like, just a day to really, like, indulge in nationalism. Have it on my dad's birthday, January 18th. No, don't do it, kid. Don't come up with any holiday. I'm trying to think of what, because there's really nothing worse than Boss's Day for me. I can't think, like something really bad, like a heinous crime day. We wouldn't celebrate that.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about what is the most heinous thing you can celebrate.
Purge Day. What would you have, Purge Day? Is that purge? Better? Is it worse than a Purge Day?
It's worse than a Purge Day, dude.
Okay.
It's the worst day, Brett. I can't think of anything worse to celebrate. You think one, and I'm not a crime. You're not allowed to be like Murder Day because
Christopher Columbus Day.
Okay, that was one Columbus Day is bad. Columbus Day is bad. I'll agree. I'll agree with that. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know the other
I don't know
ones.
If it's as bad as Boss's Day, though. Boss's Day just applies to so many more bad people than just one. You know, like Christopher Columbus did like a million people's worth of bad stuff.
Right.
I don't disagree with that. But I'm saying that bosses have done like over time.
They're forcing you to suck up to somebody like right now.
Yeah, she was working for her father at the time. She's working for her damn dad. And she was like, dad.
She thinks her boss is her dad. She's a classic conservative yeah. is what they call that.
She's working for her dad.
Yeah.
She designs Boss's Day for her dad's on her dad. And like, what is this where she just got to come up with a damn holiday and all of a sudden it's a holiday? What's that shit?
Well, she put some work into it. You got to, like I said, get that Hallmark deal and you're in.
Let's register a holiday, but write this down
okay.
in the Google Doc to-do list. Register a national holiday with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Okay, a Workers' Day.
Workers' Day? I don't think they'll allow that one. They'd be like, oh, no, but don't we already have Labor Day and Loyalty Day? Bosses' Day?
They have
bosses
Loyalty
are workers.
Day.
Yeah. We have International Women's Day. I mean, we have all these days. They're great, you know? Fuck, we need a holiday, dude.
Okay.
Street Fight Day, really. I mean, Comedy Day. It's National Anarcho Comedy Day. We celebrate anarcho comedy. Boom, there's only one anarcho comedy. That's us.
That works.
January 18th, that's my birthday.
Okay, perfect.
Or Emma Goldman Day? Could we register like an Emma Goldman type day where
okay,
it's just like
that's
somebody
smart.
That's cool that hated America and...
Yeah, we need to get some of those ancient people too that were like saying the right thing back then, like woke people of the past.
I love that. I love like when Emma Goldman was like pro birth control and you're just like somebody else like, "Well, people weren't really okay with birth control at that time." You're like, "Emma Goldman was okay with it." I mean, she was out running around talking about it.
Sure.
The purpose of designating a special day in the workplace to show the appreciation for her bosses she thought they deserve. This was also a strategy to attempt to improve intra-office relationships between managers and their employees. Hirosky believed that young employees sometimes did not understand the hard work and dedication that their supervisors put into their work and the challenges they faced. 4 years later, in 1962, Illinois Governor Otto Kerner backed Hirosky's registration and officially proclaimed the day. Hallmark cards did not offer a Boss's Day card for sale until 1979. It increased the size of his National Boss's Day line by 28% in 2007. What a perfect time for Boss. Like, we're in like prime time for bosses right now.
Yeah, everybody's trying to be a boss.
Yeah. However, there's been increasing pushback on the celebration
I'm a boss,
of
you're
Boss's
a worker,
Day.
Right?
What?
I'm a boss. You're a worker.
That's true. Did you hear that sentence that she said,
what
though?
Was it?
It was a strategy to attempt to improve intra-office relationships.
Yeah, guys, oh my gosh. An edible arrangement? I can't eat all this. Everybody have some. Grab some napkins from the sales floor. Let's have an impromptu fruit cocktail hour. This is great. You shouldn't have done this. You were going to have to stay, though, for after this cocktail hour. We're not going to do break. This is our break now.
Do you think that her dad, who was also her boss, made her do this? Like, that he's
no,
a secretary. He's like, Patricia, take down this dictation. Call the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and start a boss's day.
Nope. 1950s dad, cold, heartless dude.
Yeah.
Just businessman. only cared about the numbers, and she's just wants more than anything to get some attention, and she can't figure out what to do, so she goes to this far of lengths and cooks up this horrible idea. And it's so, only someone that's mad with, like, looking for parental love would come up with some shit like this. Nobody was at work, like, working away, like, you know what, man, we need to just celebrate Jeff one of these days. Nobody.
No, I don't think so. It would take a person whose boss was actually their real dad.
A motherfucking G off. What's that?
That's what it would take. But
yeah, listen, your boss would have to, like my dad, I would be like, well, my dad's the best boss. Because yeah. He took me on a roller coaster when I was 8.
Doesn't her dad already have a birthday and 2 a Father's Day?
Your daughter would say that boss's day is good because you're her boss.
Yeah, yeah.
She works for us doing zines for us. You're one of her bosses. She would cook up something like boss's day.
Yeah, but it would be okay for her to do that because I'm like great at, like, I'm fun, you know?
But yeah, and also you're her damn dad.
Yeah, I know. That's why she did it too.
I know.
But now we're all having to celebrate her weird relationship with her fucking dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she has this weird, like, thing where she works. She's her dad's secretary, and she just is like, I can't celebrate this dude enough. Let's figure out another. We got Father's Day, we got Dad's birthday, but then there is a little bit of laziness in making Boss's Day on his birthday.
I know, that's a good move. That's a slash. We just combined both budgets. I combined the Boss's Day budget and the birthday budget to get you one bigger present.
Yeah. Yeah,
that line of
but listen
bullshit.
To that line, dude. Here it is. Hrosky believed that young employees sometimes did not understand the hard work and dedication that their supervisors put into their work and the challenges that they faced.
Checking emails is tough, man.
This was in
back then. They were just opening letters.
This is in 1958. The millennials were. It's like, we need to make Boss's Day because these greatest generation slackers don't appreciate their bosses like they're supposed to.
What?
This was in 1958, and she was screaming about the young workers not appreciating the hard work that their supervisors go into, just like fucking every
boss on Facebook
that's like filling out a thing. Like, these millennials, they get in office and they don't appreciate the boss or what the boss goes through. They're not even buying Boss's Day cards now. But yeah, a gift award. Like
what about, like, so what do you give, like a summer sausage? Well, what's an appropriate Boss's Day gift?
My hope is it's just a card
just
scam.
A card.
You just get them the damn card. But I'm
everybody
sure
everybody signs it.
My wife got a card, but I'm sure within the next, like,
we got you. We know you love Starbucks. We got you a little $10 card in there. $10 to Starbucks.
Within the next week, she's going to take more money and do something else. It's not just going to be the damn card. She's going to take the card in, and then they're going to decide to have a potluck for their boss.
See, now that I like that plan, though. I think that's kind of insurrection, because
that's not insurrection.
I had the idea that, like, if you could somehow strong arm it into a whole day off work and blame it on celebrating the boss, then that feels like you could might get some time away from your bullshit ass job.
Yeah, but you're
still...
If you
can take a whole afternoon off to eat and shit.
Listen to this. I got some cards now. I got some Boss's Day cards that we can read through a little bit just to get an idea for what people are handing over, what horse shit people are saying to their bosses. I guess it feels good to get a card. I used to, like, anytime I get a card when somebody says something sweet about me in it, it does pop a little bit of my emotions inside of me. Like, a lot of people think that people don't care about cards, I think. Like, just, you know, people hand you money in an envelope now. Or like, they've even kind of done the gift card thing where they'll just wrap something around a gift card and be like, yeah, it's a gift card. And it's like, man... when somebody gives me a card, like, my wife will give me cards, like an actual card she buys from Hallmark, and it'll have like some sweet thing that she had to say about me. I get a little pop in my mind out of that. It, like, melts my heart a little bit. My heart grows like the Grinch when I get that.
Yeah. So. Cards are sweet, but ultimately extremely wasteful. I think the best card is made out of a piece of paper folded in half, and then you just write down what you think about the person. But it's not easy to do.
That's cheap, though. That they would call you cheap if you did that, Brett.
No, I can't stand the waste of that card shit.
Dude, let's get rid of them. I'm with you, dude. I'm with you. I think the card thing is a scam. They make up. No,
I think they're nice. I agree they're nice, but I also am like, I don't want to throw them away, but I just want to throw them away. They're so temporary.
The only reason we celebrate Bosses Day is because they make cards for Bosses Day. If they stopped making the goddamn cards for Bosses Day, we wouldn't celebrate Bosses Day anymore.
No one would get out the cutter at work and make a Bosses Day card. They'd probably get yelled at.
No, no. And that's totally true. There's so many days that we wouldn't. Secretary's Day would go the fuck away, which is sad because that's actually a day for a worker. It's like, let's celebrate these secretaries. But then when you think about it, it's like, why isn't there like a roofer's day? Their job's really fucking hard. Well, I talked with Trevor on the third show about movers. Well, yeah. We got a mover's day. That's like the job, right?
This is a good idea. I think I like where we're going with this. We can definitely have, you know, 180 days worth of holidays for like specialized careers, right?
And Don't we want more holidays? Yeah. Me and you always want more holidays. Maybe just the roofers get off roofers.
That would be
day.
Great to have construction worker day, and those guys could just run around like kings all day.
They're just
and
off.
Then electricians will get it the next day, and then seamstresses will get it the next one, and then like, but you'll
call
have,
center day.
Yeah, you'll have your day to be like really to live as a fucking like hot shit.
Yeah, and I still want to abolish Bosses Day, though. I'm
but
just
not
gonna
bosses.
Abolish bosses. They're the only people that don't. Every day is Bosses Day, Brett. Every single day is fucking Bosses Day. They come in there, they fucking scream at everybody, they deny days off, and then they push a bunch of work on you and tell you to work overtime and that you're not going to get paid your time and a half because you're a salary worker. That's what bosses do. That's the boss's job. I hate it when somebody says, like, oh, my boss is actually nice. Your boss, just your boss. You know what? Don't even take the time to defend your nice boss. Like, I had nice bosses. I had bosses I got along with. Fuck them. They're bosses. Who cares? Fuck it. They're still not on my team. You know what I mean? You go out and drink with your boss after work. I don't give a shit. In the office, you're at odds. That's your fucking enemy. The boss. They're the person that's trying to pay you the least amount of money for the most amount of work. That's ultimately, in the end, what your boss wants to fucking get out of you. Productivity. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I think. So it's like, and you know, our interests aren't aligned in the office. We're not celebrating each other. So here's the first Bosses Day card I found. This is off of Zazzle.com if you buy your cards there, Brett. Can you imagine going on Zazzle.com and putting your credit card number in so that they could mail you a card to send to your boss? That's the world we live in. That card's
convenience.
They're going to mail you the card, and then you're going to take the card still has to go on a fucking airplane to get to you. Here's the first Bosses Day card. It has check boxes on the front. It's got a list. Good listener. Works with employees. Understanding. Good communicator. And appreciates employees. That's like check boxes, like a performance Jeez. Review. Which, first of all,
that's a great
I've never
boss.
Had a boss. Never. Yeah. And it's your boss probably doesn't do that. And you're giving them the goddamn thought in their head that this is what you really think when you hand them this card. And then the next day you go home and you're like fucking talking to anybody that would listen like, oh, this fucking boss won't communicate with me. Doesn't appreciate me at all. Never works with the employees. And is just a terrible listener. Doesn't hear my complaints. But the boss gets that card. And on the inside of the card, it'll say, you're a good boss. And I'm a very lucky employee. Happy Bosses Day.
That's, I don't go there. I don't share those type of feelings. In the workplace.
It's almost romantic.
No. Yeah, that's feeling. Not our relationship at all. Nope. No, I do this for money. And that's the extent of it. And I'd rather not do pizza parties. Just give me the money.
Give me the money. And everybody wants just the money. The camaraderie in the office, unless you're building a fucking union, is useless. The next one says, I appreciate you bossing me around. Thank you for being a great boss. Happy Boss's Day.
Wow, that's really heavy. That's embarrassing. I like to be bossed around. I like how you're a tad bit touchy. You've taught me so much about myself, how to stay on my toes, making sure that you don't blow up on me.
Thank you for not screaming at me and cutting my pay. God, you're great. Here's a Donald Trump one, which is a perfect card to give to your boss. It says, it's your birthday, don't worry. And on the inside it says, I don't plan to deport old people. That's just a birthday card.
Wait, what is, okay.
I don't know. That was a birthday card. I don't know
that's
why.
That's fun, Zazzle.
Here's more Americans greetings one, okay? Here's another Boss's Day card. They say you can best judge a boss by looking at the group that works for him. So what we're really trying to say is, and on the inside it says, oh my God, this is the most impossible site to be on, and you're supposed to be able to print these cards. It says, damn, we're good. Happy Boss's Day. So this one kind
of like
gives you the credit. That's about
applause.
The most dignified one we've seen yet. Yeah. That's a dignified Boss's Day card, bro.
That's appropriate. Maybe bookmark that one for Katie.
She already bought the Boss's Day card.
No.
At the heart of a happy workplace, and then you open it up and it says, our bosses like you.
Oh, you little cutie pie. You're so sweet. I just want to pinch your cheeks.
Oh, here's a self-deprecating one. This one's no. Boss, I'm always glad to give you 110% during the work week. 18% on Monday, 39% on Tuesday, 23%. So they add it up each day, like saying, I don't work that hard. And it's like, well, that's all you asked for is 110%.
Yeah,
don't
it also
go self-deprecating.
Sucks. Most bosses, a lot of bosses also aren't the top boss. So they're just filtering down. They have no human connection or discretionary authority on your situations. Yeah. It's just not. I don't. The function that they serve is not something I'm thankful for.
Yeah.
Like they do the least amount of work.
So we'll do
they
this.
Don't,
last...
Like they don't do any of the actual work that's getting done.
They just yell at everybody. That's their whole thing. So
or
here's the last
emails.
One because we've done funny cards, right? We've done all the funny, lighthearted ones, and it's always good to get at one of the serious cards. You know, the ones where they write the words all like it's all words with a flower on the front of it.
Right.
Like we got to do one of those, right? Just to get a well-rounded idea of what Boss's Day cards are.
Yeah.
And this one has a picture of a daisy on the front of it. And it says, on Boss's Day. This is, listeners, this is going to make you throw up a little. You're going to hate this. And I promise I'm going to make it as painless as possible. And it says, on Boss's Day, for all you do every day to motivate and encourage, and for the many ways you recognize and show appreciation for people's efforts, thank you. Having a boss like you makes all the difference. Happy Boss's Day.
I loved it when you brought in that Red Bull fridge, man. thank you for the Nespresso.
That's the most depressing thing. Let's either get rid of that holiday, or we'll come up with another holiday that's on the same day, right? Like, so yeah. Emma Goldman Day can be on October 16th. Boom. Then we don't have to deal with Boss's Day anymore.
Motherfucking bosses that make you stay at a job site where you're not even needed, and it's like over, and they just need to have you there for... To fill in hours. Yeah.
Yeah. When you're asking, can you go home? And they just say no. Go over there and see if Terry needs any help. Those guys.
Yeah. To send a kind of love letter like that to that person.
to send a love letter to the boss that makes you work 60 hours a week, even though your salary, like where you're working an extra 4 and 5 hours a day. And they're just like, well, you got to get it done.
Yeah.
And not, and they know you're not getting paid.
Thanks for that extra effort. We really appreciate it. You're a real go-getter.
And they're supposed to be giving, you're supposed to give them something. What a crazy holiday. What a, let's.
I would give them a whole bunch of caramels so that we could all get caramels.
But what, most bosses would just keep the damn caramels for them. These are my caramels.
I brought caramels for the classroom. Or, you know, you make those cupcakes inside of an ice cream cake cone. Those are good. Like funfetti.
Yeah.
Bring those for everybody in the office or the work on the floor.
Yeah. I mean, I think like, I think the best strategy here is to not do
just
anything.
To ice them out.
Just don't even
cold shoulder.
Yeah. It's just don't even do
tell
anything.
Tell them that it's boss's day and then say we didn't get you anything.
Well, like, okay.
Be upfront about it.
That's for, yeah. That, I mean, that's the most hardcore badass way to do boss's day is to say, hey, y'all, it's boss. It's boss's day. And we didn't get you anything because you fucking suck. Because you're mean all the time and shit. We decided not to get you anything. What do you think bosses think their employees think about them? What do you think that their vibe? Because I've never been a boss. I've never known a boss. I've never had a conversation with anybody who's in charge of a bunch of people. And like, what do you think in their heart of hearts they think their employees actually think of them?
Well, the people don't like the rules. That's what it always it seems like to me. It's just people don't like the rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what they think. They got to do what they got to do.
They don't like the rules, but they like me. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Who the fuck you think you fucking with? I'm the fucking boss, right?
Yeah.
Ricky
yeah.
Ross.
Yeah. So I have stories that are backed up for the past few weeks. I thought I'd get into the first one we saw, the first one we haven't been able to do on the show, but I thought was super something that we would actually talk about, is that they're getting rid of a lot of the drive-thrus at Taco Bell and they're putting bars in them. So that's an interesting development. I mean, do you ever see people drinking at Chipotle? It feels like the clientele and what they're calling a Taco Bell cantina could be problematic if I think about it for a second.
Yeah, I order a beer there if I can. I mean, I do like that they have it, and because the cervezas are good. Those are a good treat. But they are tough with a gigantic burrito. So there is actually in Texas a few places like this. Taco Bueno is one of them, and there's another taco chain that's open 24 hours, and they have like their draw is they have a salsa bar and the dining room is open all night long, and it's fucking wild. I mean, it's like a goddamn Waffle House in there, but it's for tacos.
Do people go crazy in there?
Yes, people are wasted and shit. No, but you can't drink in there. You don't, that's the thing. There's no booze there. It's just open from like 3 to 4 a.m. So it's a place you can go and chill out and get something crunchy, melty, crispy, cheesy with salsa on top of it.
I love late night joints like that. I would love a place where you didn't have to just eat waffles or pancakes that was open late at night too. Because most places is just waffles and pancakes and shit. I don't know, man. I mean,
I think it's a horrible move. I mean, Taco Bell is something you definitely don't want anybody to see you getting. So you just get it thrown at you through a window. That's the safest way to get it. The inside is still the same broken ass, plasticky ass brown bench seats, right?
I don't know.
Like them little Tykes plastic shit that fills up with water and mold. That's what them Taco Bell seats are still made out of.
Yeah.
Did they switch to some, like,
it's going to look fancier now. That's their new goal, is to make it look more like a Demolition Man. It's going to turn into Demolition Man, where Taco Bell's our most fancy restaurant.
It's the most cruelty-free friendly place of the fast foods. Like, you can do good as a vegan and vegetarian there.
Yeah, but I mean, they also like probably torture the shit extra out of the meat.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean? They're probably like, yeah, we have a lot of vegetarian stuff. We don't have we kill a lot more cows just to make our like crappy yoga mat cow. Actually, they probably don't. They use a lot of the parts of the cow that nobody likes.
Yeah, they're disgustingly cruel. They just kill them with paper cuts. They won't even like just make it quick and
1,000 cuts.
Yeah. And so I mean, I don't know, man. I don't fuck with it that much. It's I mean, I hate to browbeat young people because I did like it when I was young, but right now it's not. I just feel like that's not my demographic, and I've never thought hanging out at a fucking fast food place is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
it's not gonna get me there.
Not me. I remember if you could smoke inside there, that would be the place.
If it was a hookah lounge,
yeah. If it was something like that, I might think about it.
If there was a table, if there was a Pac-Man table in there,
weed dispensaries. That's where all the weed dispensaries end up. That would get me to hang out in there.
Or maybe like Outrun. That game is good.
Oh, I love Outrun. That's a good game.
Yeah,
that's a good game. I would play that.
Or maybe have a some good shooter out front in there. I don't know, an air hockey table.
Just gotta do something different, man. You know, I'm not gonna belly up to the bar at a Taco Bell, motherfuckers sitting there drinking a Corona and farting like wet farts into his fucking underwear on the stool.
Okay, so actually, I do have to say the beer thing, but I don't know. I guess I'm just got it like that too well, but I could definitely see, or you can get so many tacos and then get a beer with it. Sounds like a fucking fantastic idea.
Cheap, yeah,
it's cheap as shit. Cheap
thing. It's just weird. It's weird that they're rebranding all of the like really gross bad food, and they're. I mean, like, it seems like we're just stuck. Like McDonald's and all that was going, like it seemed like they were on a downward trajectory and we were getting stuff that was a little bit higher quality. But I think we got fooled there, and they're going to catch up and they'll be back. You know, like I think Chipotle is a little bit higher quality. I think Five Guys is a little bit higher quality than McDonald's, you know, but oh well. I mean, we're never going to get good food like that on that scale, you know.
Yeah, there's going to be more problems. I mean, there's problems like with Chipotle. I mean, they had a whole bunch of health scares with their shit. So you just invite more different things when you change the food supply for millions and millions of people.
Yeah,
but it is like just sucks that it's the same shit food is prevailing in a different way. They're like, we'll fire cashiers and let you order off an app. Come pick it up. You can get it from Uber Eats.
Yeah. We'll deliver this stuff now. We'll deliver this shit.
Yeah. You
want
to, chicken sandwiches. They're fucking disgusting. Why would you drive to Wendy's to get one? But you know what? You can Uber Eats one to your house. Now do we got your attention?
I've never thought about like if you get no. The weirdest thing about like I guess because it's cheaper maybe McDonald's is, but the weirdest thing about like opening up an Uber Eats app and then choosing McDonald's out of all the places that you could get stuff in is just a really like a situation that I don't think I could find myself in, you know?
Yeah, I mean it's just. Yeah, go get it. And if you can't get something good, just make something that you have in your house.
Yeah, get a pantry.
Put something together with what you got at the house.
Yep. All right. So
that's like going out to eat if you can't tip and shit.
Don't ever fucking go out to eat if you can't tip. That is, you're right about that. Thank you. All right, man. So we're gonna do a visit with one of our old favorite websites, our Facebook pages. Actually, it's not a website, it's a Facebook page. Intellectual takeout is in the house.
I'm very excited. I'm getting my chopsticks together.
Intellectual Takeout, for people that haven't been listening for a long time, is a site, is a group on Facebook. Their tagline is a refuge for rational discourse.
And of course, the rational is a capital R rational.
And it's all white dudes
telling a very simple conservative way to think about the world that is not tied to Republicans or conservatism at all. It's just simple common sense.
Intellectual Takeout broke Brett was the thing that, like it was, we have been both kind of reveling in this, in the nastiest parts of conservative Facebook and even liberal Facebook. Like, we've been there the whole time. And the first one that Brett said ever really made him angry was Intellectual Takeout.
Well, yeah, this one is just more pompous and you'll see why. They just really think highly of themselves. They think they're the collegiate level thinkers.
Yeah. It's widely believed that there is a strong liberal bias in America's public school system. By conservative people that there's a strong liberal bias. Yet, by all accounts, most conservative-minded Americans still send their children to the public schools, in spite of growing ideological divide in this country. But why? Some do it because of economic necessity. Others because they place a higher priority on a school district's track record in getting their students into a good college. I would like to add other, also because your kids need to have social interactions with people that aren't in their family.
Yeah, it is helpful for them to go to a place where there's professionals that have a curriculum to share too. Like, that's like they kind of got it down.
Yeah, it's not I don't know. It's also not the worst thing in the world for your kid to teach, to learn the same knowledge that everybody else out in the world learned. Like, it doesn't hurt for them to hear the America, official America fucking story, because that's what most people are going off of. That's your job to tell her. It's all kind of fucking bullshit the way that they tell it.
Yeah, but you're right. It's useful to know. It absolutely is useful to know what people are what they're forming their opinions on, and what they end up thinking the official story is. And I think that's amazing that they consider it liberal when, you know, like, it's them also saying that the world's trying to be political correct, and these folks will only accept a world where we always say America is the best and we never say that they've done anything wrong or did or may have not do things right.
They believe in a world that where it's not politically correct to fucking have to stand up and show respect whenever the song is played.
Right.
Like, they have a fucking song. Like, it's like one of those bells where in the old sitcoms when somebody would get sick and they ring the bell and the person, the exasperated person that loves them, has to run back and help them, and they just end up getting tired, but they keep doing it, you know, and then there's a blow up. That's America, basically. They're like, okay, we have huge football games. This is just this big, all the best people at fucking football go in a stadium. We watch them play a football game. But only after you stand up and show respect. Show me some goddamn respect. And that's like what they would consider non-PC, when that sounds like the very definition of political correctness to me.
Right. It's defined. Yeah. It's defined by the politics of the ruling prevailing thing. I mean, we're talking about America where they still teach Animal Farm as a cautionary tale against communism.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about, like, they still teach you that Christopher Columbus discovered America. They still teach you that the Constitution is one of the greatest documents ever written, and that it was like these geniuses, Thomas Jefferson and fucking George Washington, came up with all these really great ideas, and they've never made a better idea.
I've had several people flabbergasted with me recently over two things. Number one, we're having a Halloween party. She goes to public ass school. We're having a Halloween party at the school with jack-o'-lanterns, ghosts, and witches and shit. And they're like, I thought they had switched to harvest festivals. Like, no, they do Halloween at the public school.
Motherfuckers do Christmas.
Yeah, there's no, and also there's no peanut free zone. It's not a peanut. You can have as much peanut butter as you want at the school.
Yeah, that actually depends on if there is. That's right. What's weird about it. There's one kid in a class. Right. They're like, oh, well, no peanuts. But that's not like the world's biggest tragedy is that, like, Is it really that big of a tragedy that if a person touches peanuts, they'll die, that we keep peanuts away from them? Like, is that a travesty of justice?
Well, it is. I mean, it happens only, I think it happens in like the inbred blue blood places, but not in like the mixed bag of public school. Well, they got the stronger genetics.
Even where my kid goes, which is a public school system that is smaller class sizes and all that shit, they do a Christmas play every year where they say Christmas and they talk. That's why whenever they're like, these libs are trying to take away Christmas, it's like, where is that happening? Because I live with all the fucking libs.
We went and watched Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, which is like a fucking Bible story.
I know. I don't know where all this stuff school. Is happening. This is shit that people have convinced themselves is happening because, like, America First News #1.com right. fucking posted it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. CNN.org.us.
AmericanDogs.co fucking shared
it. I knew it. God damn it. Yeah. So, yeah, okay, so the schools are brainwashing kids to want to look out for one another and for recognizing other cultures and respecting people and not being misanthropic.
And still being taught, like, the America First. Are they mad because they teach climate change? Is that what fucking drives them crazy? These goddamn students are in here learning what all the scientists are saying.
Well, they don't teach none of the people. They don't teach none of the works of people that were against pasteurization.
So, and then there are many others who are simply unaware of what's being taught at their public local schools, which are notoriously low information. As education correspondent Christina Rizga once noted, it's easier for a journalist to embed with the Army or the Marines than to go behind the scenes at a public school. Well, that's because y'all are worried that every single adult is a pedophile or like coming in there to hurt a student. You put the place on lockdown if somebody walks by it. Edina, a suburb of Minneapolis, is one of the wealthiest cities in Minnesota. Its residents are often referred to as cake eaters.
Nice.
Hey, you fucking cake eaters over here. Come on.
Hey, you
cake eaters.
You sugary mouth cake eater, get your ass over here.
Was it the Boston that Stefan doesn't want me to do?
Yes.
Hey, you cake eaters. Hey, get over here. I'm back at cake eaters. Eaters. Cake eaters.
That's my Boston that I just did.
My, it's Marky Mark. Marky Mark.
No, for those, there's a secret street fight group on Facebook. And Stefan BC is in there, and he doesn't want me to do the Boston accent anymore. He tried to petition to get rid of it, so I have to do it on the show now because we don't fucking follow anybody's rules.
Yep.
Nobody's fucking rules. I'll always do Boston. Hey, it's Boston over here. Hey, we over here. Hey, we in Boston talking about them cake eaters over there in Milwaukee.
The cake eaters.
They're, and its school district has long enjoyed a reputation as one of the state's best. But in the past few years, its schools have increasingly implemented a controversial, ideologically driven curriculum. I have the reports on it. While student performance has declined. So the CAE, this is the Center of the American Experiment.
Okay, sounds like of some basement shit.
Some
street fight shit. Like we have a disclaimer that you should not trust our basement shit, though. That's the problem. These people try to say their basement shit's legit, and it ain't. They should quit.
Yeah, let's actually look. Let's actually see what the two stories are about Edina. You want to look at what the two stories about Edina Middle School are?
Sure.
What they're doing? It looks here. Highlands Elementary is a K-5 school and Edina Public School District. Edina is, they're going to explain that it's wealthy. Here's an example.
Cake.
The kindergarten class at Highlands has been engaged for weeks on something called the Melanin Project. Kindergarten tackles the Melanin Project. Stop thinking your skin color is better than anyone else's. Everyone is special is the sign that they have. They don't want them learning that.
Okay.
They just, that is not something they want to do. Baker Kinder's Tackle Melanin Project today. Amazing learn. So it's a teacher posting about it.
Well, I mean, honestly, my daughter is brilliant in her own ways, but like the alphabet and the math and all that stuff, it just comes with repetition. And at that age, it's actually a pretty good time to step in and start talking about that stuff. Yeah.
Here's another thing.
Because that's when they're being socialized. And our culture teaches, you know, people of color that their self-worth is a lot less than what, you know, what my daughter gets.
Here's the next thing intellectual takeout is offended by. This is a poem the student wrote. This is evidence of the decline of our education system, Brett.
Let's hear it.
Is they found words and they cut them out of a magazine, and these are the words. Make your mission power and justice for all.
What? Oh, that's a problem. That's a problem. No, power and for just us. Just us.
Why is that controversial?
This is something I really got to think about. This intellectual takeout. Thanks for this big heap and helping. I'm of beef. Wow, I'm gonna chew on this for a while. I can't imagine that the kids are going to school and being told messages like this.
Here's the next tweet that the teacher posted that they're freaked out about, Brett. Dear class, all are welcome here, said Edina from Kayla and Miss Stageberry. They said all are welcome here.
Well, you gotta. Have you simply thought that you must respect a man's right to say that not all are welcome here?
Yeah.
I mean, not think everybody. About, are you an intellectual or not? They're teaching these kids mindless acceptance of everyone. It's ludicrous. It's offensive to those who think, that really think, that you can exclude. You can make decisions on keeping people down.
They're offended by those things.
Yeah, that's right? Awful.
Oh, shit. I can't believe this is the kind of stuff these students are learning in school. Except, like, the least offensive things I could think of, the most, like, fucking nonpartisan type shit, like justice for all, right?
Yeah.
Like, they mean justice for fucking everybody, even people that me and you don't think deserve justice, like Klansmen and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah,
these people are vile. What a vile group.
What is the point here?
Oh, somebody made a Black Lives Matter collage.
Okay.
A student made a Black Lives Matter collage.
We're not those type of ideas aren't allowed.
No. Listen, Brett.
Be politically correct.
Yeah, come on. That's the first thing they're into. Oh, they're not allowed. So they have they're teaching colorblind racism and public policy to the these are things they're teaching. So this sounds like they have a mole as a teacher at this at this school that's furious that students are being taught.
Yeah, this seems like an anonymous situation. Some Benjamin Franklin gold collector is like at the school teaching history to the children, and it's like they're asking questions, you know. These kids these days, they think they can look it up on their phone and ask me a question about it.
This person's so mad about the Melanin Project, Brett. Listen to this. Instead of giving Edina students the intellectual tools necessary to thrive in the 21st century, Edina Public Schools leaders are increasingly using limited school time to indoctrinate students in left-wing political orthodoxies. Today, for example, K-2 students at Edina Highlands Elementary School are learning through the Melanin Project to focus on skin color and to think of white skin as a cause for guilt. That is not what they're fucking teaching. That's not, nobody fucking teaches that. I was a sociology major and I spent most of my time in like race and gender study courses and shit like that. And nobody teaches white guilt. That's not a fucking thing. That's not something that they, I don't feel guilty. I somehow fucking made it through and I don't feel white guilt. Is it white guilt to say I have less of a chance of getting shot in the fucking face by a cop? I don't think that's white guilt. I do have less of a chance of getting shot in the fucking face by a cop if I'm out driving and I look at him wrong, you know?
Yeah, it's not white guilt to say that I've had a lot more second chances when it comes to brushes with the law. Myself.
These things aren't like learning about privilege like that isn't like they think that like it's this thing where we're being asked to apologize or that we need to pay reparations and that's going to come out of my pocket and shit like that. First of all, I don't know how many people are asking for reparations in mainstream culture, number one. And number two, I mean, they're owed that.
We haven't gotten there yet. We haven't gotten there yet. We're just starting the conversation.
They're owed reparations.
We're going to convince you to give up some money.
They're owed that. I mean, fucking the way that wealth shaped, the way that wealth is shaped, the way that white wealth is so much more than black wealth is because we actively stopped them from accruing wealth in the early days of this thing. So we have all this fucking generational wealth, and they don't have all this generational wealth because we wouldn't let them fucking have it in those days when, like, the fucking Rockefellers were doing shit. I think they should take money from those fucking people, from CBS and fucking GGG, which is a General Electric and all those places, and give those to black people. They fucking deserve it. They fucking deserve that money. These dynasties took money from people of color and from us too. It's not even like just they owe reparations to fucking workers that they underpaid and sent the Pinkertons to fucking kill. You know, they owe all kinds of fucking reparations. I think it's crazy to think that reparations is such a fucking like liberal crazy person fucking thing, because it seems like the most fair way to do things. It seems fair and a way to redistribute the wealth in a fucking real way to people who need it, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Black Wall Street. Google Black Wall Street. They fucking burned it down. Yeah. They fucking, anytime they started to get money, they fucking burned the city down and shit, man. Yeah,
that New Deal was a setup to get white people into houses.
That's true. So yeah, I mean, I think this, it's these conservatives, when you look at what they're mad about kids learning,
stuff like that, they don't want them to be told that. They don't want them that's like, Joe, we don't talk about that. This is manifest destiny, so we don't mention stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's being like, because of, if you talk about it the way I just talk about it without all the cusses and the yelling, then it's reasonable. It's just a fucking, you start talking about it and you're like, so, you know, a lot of the wealth is generational wealth and we stopped black people from accruing that wealth. It doesn't seem fucking fair. Like we would burn their shit down and we would seize their stuff and we just wouldn't, we actively froze them out of business.
Well, yeah, and that's also, I've been listening to this amazing podcast about crack. I can't remember the name of it. It was called like 100 to 1 or something, the crack epidemic. But it lays out like all the problems it has, all of these people that were around in the 90s, Congress people, lawmakers, police officers, they're just like, oh, we got swept up in it. We didn't know what we was doing. You know, I've been on the floor. And they're like, you know, talking also about all this shit. And it's like, okay, but there's people that are in jail right now for this shit, though. Like, there's, you know, it's cool that 800 people got pardoned by Obama, but there's like thousands and thousands of victims of the war on drugs in jail. And it seems that like the once again, the knowledge that the conservatives think is too leftist or that they don't want to know is that it's a perpetually racist money grab to, you know, basically once again, keep black men in chains.
Yeah.
And women.
It's not society that's cutting the legs out from under people. It's like it's getting rid of any options that you have and getting rid of any of the steps that we all have. Like, even, like, we've said it on the show, like, being a white dude even just makes it easier to get a fucking job. There's just, it's not like, there's real privilege now.
You don't have to feel bad.
Yeah, you don't have to feel bad. And there's real privilege now. But the real thing that we're talking about is very generational. You know what I mean? It's old, and it's an old way of thinking. And it's not, it shouldn't be scary for you to talk about equalizing some of these things. It's not wrong. It's not wrong to talk about class and redistributing the wealth. And it's not wrong, and it's not bad for your kids to hear that some of those achievements that we that some of these people took credit on the backs of poor people and people of color. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of this country was built for free by people, and a lot of the families that used that slave labor are still legacies that still are hoarding the money, that still have that money, that are still living off of those investments that were made in times where they were using slave or paying black people less than, like, during Jim Crow and things like that. Like, a lot of the families that have all that money took advantage of those things, and they don't fucking deserve it. Their kids don't deserve to be born into this, like, high level of privilege. Yeah, you know,
transportation railroad companies built on the backs of Chinese immigrants.
Yeah and the children of railroad workers, the grandchildren of fucking Andrew Carnegie, don't deserve that life. They don't fucking deserve to inherit that life. They've done nothing, they'll never do anything. And their father did it in nefarious ways a lot of time, used nefarious means to get to the point that he's at. So we should be taking those places. We should be collectivizing those
yeah.
businesses and figuring out and redistributing the wealth is so important. When black wealth is shrinking now, like,
that's wild.
Black wealth is shrinking and white wealth is growing now. What is the explanation for that? What is the explanation for that?
I saw that 50% of all income increases from 2009 to 2013 went to the 1%.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. I mean, you can look at, like, CEO compensation compared to what workers are making, and it's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't even need the CEOs of these companies most of the time. We don't really need the companies at this point. Like, right. We don't fucking need Lehman Brothers at all. Like, that doesn't need to exist. Is that the one that closed? Did I pick the one that closed?
I think that's gone.
Goldman Sachs. We don't need Goldman Sachs, you know?
Yeah, it's, It's the more that we keep careening down this financial path, it's not getting better. You know, it's so weird because technology is moving at these different rates, and there's, like, all this expensive shit going up. And then there's, you know, the on the ground. I've been to some places that felt like some time machines recently. I went to a bowling alley that I used to go when I was a kid, and it looks the exact same. And nachos are still like $2 there. And I can't figure out how it's still in business. But then I compare it with, you know, people now that are spending $16 on cocktails and shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to keep, it just keeps getting worse. It's weird.
It won't, until we stop being afraid to say that we need to redistribute the wealth, then nothing. I mean, we're just so afraid to say that, you know, it's still a Republican talking point to be like, they're just trying to redistribute the wealth. And it's like, no shit. Well, it doesn't matter to anybody that's listening to this, because they don't got any fucking wealth.
Yeah.
You got any wealth, Brent?
No.
I don't got any wealth, man. I got negative. I wouldn't even know what wealth looks like. I don't think I've met wealthy people in my life, you know? Like, I don't even know if there's really wealthy people in Columbus, Ohio. Like, really, 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 like the real kind of wealthy people that are in, like, New York and Massachusetts and Los Angeles. I don't even know if we even fucking have those here. You know? Yeah,
I don't know.
Is there 1% in Ohio? Is there 1% in Nebraska?
The cars aren't as nice as, like, in Dallas.
No, yeah, Dallas is another place. Because there's oil and shit there. But is there, have I ever even been in a room with a truly wealthy fucking one? Have I ever been in a room with a one percenter? I really fucking doubt it, man. I don't know, though. I mean, I could have. But damn, I don't even know if I've even sniffed it. It's that few people. Like, if you're, like, there are people listening to this show that have probably also don't know if they've ever been in a room with a one percenter. You know what I mean? Those people are rare, and we should take, and they're hoarding most of the resources, yeah, and we should take it from them.
Also, the companies, the businesses that aren't paying their people enough to get by, but then they also have secret stashes of cash somewhere else. It's like, we need that money to run this business. You got to take care of the people doing the work.
Yeah, the shit where they'll put shit in like the Cayman Islands. Yeah. It's like, no. I mean, we know you're doing it, and you say you're doing it, and you call it smart. Just gonna take it anyway. That's why you need like an international solidarity. That's why you have to think past nationalism. That's why you have to think in like terms of like, no, we need solidarity with the workers.
Everybody.
Fucking everywhere. So these people can't win. They don't have any, right. Then they'll invent some fucking island with like a fucking volcano lair somewhere where they all live, and they'll just buy all the nukes and kill us.
Yeah, they might go that route.
All right, man, Brett's leaving for a few days. You're gonna get, I mean, you get me and Will. It's the Brian and Will Menaker show. We do it about once a year when Brett has to, he got to take a break, man. The guy's got to go to concerts.
Yeah, you know? I'm going vacay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a music geek.
So Will and I'm doing a call-in show by myself this week, and there will be guests on there. And we'll get through this. We're going to get through this.
Yeah, this will be good. Brian's going to do a call-in show this Sunday still, so please do that Sunday at 10 p.m., 92.7 or WCRSFM.org. We are also... we are also taking pre-orders for Sad Brian shirts. So you might have missed out last year. We did them in navy blue. We have a yellow Sad Brian and a sand color. That's called the Troops Edition Sad Brian shirt for pre-order. This is how we do our shirts. It's economical, and it saves us money, and it gives us the lowest amount of risk. You give us $25. Then on the 1st of November, we order all the shirts, package them up, and get them to you. They'll be going out at the 3rd week of November, so you can get them before Christmas if you want to get someone a really special gift. Just head to store.streetfightradio.com to get that. The yellow edition is on fire. I love how much people are riding for that one. It's like doubled the sand one, which I understand. I mean, you got to have a safe shirt. The sand is very nice. Cool color, and I think it looks good on everybody. So pick your poison, whatever it may be, and you know, keep supporting us. Also, New York City, come out to the live show. New York City, Friday night, October 20th. We still have some late show tickets available. Go to the Littlefield website or go to Bands in Town and look for it, and you can get tickets. I don't have like a short link, unfortunately. And then also, October 22nd, that Sunday in New York City, we are going to be at Throne Watches in their showroom. We're doing the Humor and the Abject podcast. Brian and I are going to be talking about what our comedic inspirations are and what things we find funny and what, you know, we've been working on to get the show started.
This is going to be a very, 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 very rare thing because I do not like talking about this stuff.
That's true.
So I wouldn't expect Brett and I to be talking about our process and heroes very often.
I'm extremely excited about this the most, really. The October show is going really well. It's going to be awesome. We're going to knock it out of the park. But this one, I've been thinking a lot of like what are my key influences, and it's been fun to think about what kind of stuff I'm still using or borrowing from today. So I'm excited to be there. It's at 8:00. It's totally free, and they said we can hang out afterwards. They'll have the bar open. It's cash only, but it's at the Throne Watch showroom. Come hang with the gang. on Sunday if you're in New York City. Thank you for listening to Street Fight. If you want more of Street Fight, please sign up for the bonus episode. It's only $1 more. The one we released this week was an interview with Jordan from Burgerville and Michelle from the Burgerville Workers Union talking about the bagel incident and what the current working conditions are like at Burgerville right now. Burgerville. And what are the actions that are taking place. It was really fun and awesome to do. I was excited when we got the email saying they wanted to do something, and it was like a dream come true. So listen to that. We also have this month going out is the occult zine. So those of you that got charged on October 1st, you're going to get that occult zine sent out at the end of this month. And if you sign up for the zine in the month of October, you have until October 31st. You sign up for the zine, you're going to get the cooking zine in November. That's going to include recipes. It's going to have articles and lots of other fun things. So please consider doing that. It's all available at patreon.com, patreon.com/streetfightradio. Thank you. Have a good one. We have a special song. It's about Freddy Krueger from the Fat Boys. It's for the Halloween spirit. So enjoy.
Streets the place. If you got the time, listen to this. You'll bust the rhyme.
Fred Krueger the myth, or Fred Krueger the man. It doesn't matter, cause I'm still rapping about what I'm understand. So sit back, Jack, I'm gonna bust the rhyme. Grab a hole in your face, it's Krueger time.
It's time for Freddy. See, I'm a popular guy. If you don't know yet, you're gonna find out why.
Big fun, please, with no street late one night. I look like I go
sleep or you'll wake up dead.